what?
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Did you push the buttons there? Okay, thank you. Good morning, everybody. That Dead Air is brought to you by our producer, Matt. Matt, now, I walk in here and I... Is it Matt? What's your name?
Gus.
I'm sorry. Just
Why
kidding.
Matt?
Because Matt used to be our producer.
Oh, the one with the Cadillac?
No, who was that? Remember that young kid we had? Let's reminisce about that. Well, I walk in and I'm going, oh, gee, my chair, I got a great big... executive office chair. I'm like, oh, that's nice, because you usually get that little wooden stool that Tim's sitting on.
It's all about the stool.
Right. And I'm like, wow, this is great. So I'm sitting there, and I look at Gus, and I'm like, Gus, you got one of the other chairs, the smaller leather chairs that they brought in here for us? Yeah, that chair's broken, the one you're sitting in. Don't lean back. I said, okay, so let me get this. The host of the show gets the lousy chair, and... Matt, Gus, whatever his name is, he gets the really good chair.
Gus, the Gus Matt.
Oh, boy. All right, hey, anyway, we're here to talk about computers at some point. Today we're going to finish up our conversation with Ted the Shareware Man Rositsky. I hope I get that name right. We kind of cut him off last week. We had a lot of show, so little time. So we're going to get him back. Geek of the Week software pick. Our website of the week is not Flat Tim, although we will check the further adventures of Flat Tim, I think. We've got quite a few announcements. Of course, your calls at 421-9325, 421-WFBL. And also we're going to cover... let's see. Oh, the outline. The way they did the outline, I'm trying to read this here, and indented the plus part.
You go, show prep boy.
Boy, I'll tell you. Well, when you put this out on the website, you fix that, because it's two features. We're going to finish up our feature from last week, but then we're going to talk about the exciting topic of artificial intelligence, as opposed to real intelligence, which none of us possess. But
I wonder why I didn't find it very exciting.
Anything from robotic cars to computers that can whip you at chess. What is out there in terms of artificial intelligence today? And what does it hold for us in the future? Which is kind of exciting because it is, again, the near future. So we'll make some predictions, or maybe I will, and you guys will ridicule me as always. And your calls, 421-9325, 421-WFBL. But now, the news.
How about this one? Pardon the pun. The fishers try a phone hook. In a new twist on phishing, I think we talked about this before, so I don't know about how new it is. Fraudsters are sending out emails that attempt to trick people into sharing personal information. So basically what you're looking for is an email that comes from your bank and warns you that there's a problem with your account and you need to resolve it.
Yes.
At that point, you get a phone number. Now you call that phone number, and just like as we've talked before, you go to a website and they look exactly like what they're trying to get you to go to. They have a voice system that sounds exactly like your bank system, except your bank is very... rarely, probably never, going to ask you to input your PIN number and your account number. So my question on this one is, how many people are going to fall for this? Because this requires pick up the phone, you go through a system. I mean, people are sending money out for the Saudi Arabian king to help them transfer $10
million.
I like those phishing scams because they play on people's greed, and they deserve to get robbed of their greed.
I just enjoy reading them. So they're just so funny. Every once in a while, they change them up a little bit, and you get a new one. I've been getting new ones from different countries, prince, queen, king. I'm like, this is great. You know? But anyway.
Every royalty on the planet wants to give me.
There's a warning for those of you who would actually enter your bank number and PIN number over the phone. Don't do it.
Don't.
Thank you. Now, this one
I like. What a dumb thing to do.
This is borderline news and weird stories. California agency has okayed BPL tests. We've talked about broadband over power lines.
Yeah, the zero cycle.
Everything's got to be acronyms in computer land, so it's BPL because it sounds cool. The California Public Utilities Commission approved the plan on Thursday to allow providers of high-speed internet services to test electricity lines to deliver online access throughout the state. Now, does anybody know what's wrong with this story?
No.
No.
California is where they're going to test it. Blackouts?
Yeah, that's a good place.
Blackouts,
hey, my internet is down. Can you help me fix it? Sure. Okay, here's what you got to do. Go over to your power line modem. Well, wait, let me get a candle because and a flashlight because my power is out. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. You got if you got a cable modem, you've got no phone either.
Yeah, rolling brownouts.
And who are you going to call? It's a blackout. I'm sure they know. But I guess I'm thinking of all the states out there. Wouldn't this be like the last state that you'd want to tinker with it in? I mean, couldn't you go out to, I don't know, Oklahoma or somewhere out in the middle of the country where it's kind of quiet and I don't know. What do I know?
Well, Solvay. It works. Well, they're going to try it in Solvay, actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They did it in Pennsylvania. It does work. It has had some bugs here and there, but they've been able to work them out. But essentially, for those of you who don't know how it works, let me give you the boring description. It's very simple. Electricity alternating current has a zero cycle where there's no power, and they'll just put the signal in that cycle.
Right, a little bit rides on top of that.
And it's very, very fast, and when it goes to the transmission station, then it's turned into traditional internet traffic.
So you're downloading MP3s, and your lights start flickering because there's not enough power.
To the beat. No, to the beat.
Yeah, there you go.
Your lights turn into strobe lights.
You can run your computer on your hairdryer.
But the only downside to this, besides obvious blackouts, would be... And there was no mention of this in the story, and it should be in almost every story. The ham radio operators are really annoyed by this. I don't know if you've heard about that at all.
Why would they care?
I don't know. I guess they're saying that's how they communicate or something. So, and if there was the end of the world came, they couldn't communicate or something. You haven't heard anything about that? I'll have to research it more.
Yeah, and read I guess that's in the last book of the Bible, something like the end of the world. I remember reading about ham radio.
If anybody uses ham radio, somebody call in if we got somebody.
The ham radio operator is the fifth rider of the
apocalypse. I bet you Bill is.
Breaker, good buddy.
I got $20, says Bill from Groton, can answer that for me, Bill. I'm not prepared. Help me out.
421-9325, 421-WFB.
Microsoft has included software in its latest batch of updates. I don't know if you noticed this. The other night when you went to shut down your computer, all of a sudden it just sat there at the screen and it was doing an update. So don't shut off your computer.
Oh, yes.
Updating.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. Well, what it's got is the anti-piracy detection software. So now if you are not running a valid copy, it's going to pop up a window. Of course, on the same day, somebody figured out how to, probably about an hour. Figured out how to get around it. You basically control alt delete, deleted a couple files, modified a registry key, rebooted, and it was gone.
It created a lot of phone calls for me. Thanks, Bill, because something's wrong with my computer. It's frozen up. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know about it. Got no word on it. They're being very secretive now. Obviously, since this last time they got chopped on the security updates, they don't want anybody to know when they're going to do a big update.
Oh,
they're going to force you to do it.
Two problems last week. One was with this update last night. Yeah, well, it's aborted, too. But one was with my Windows box. One was with this update that said it couldn't validate my XP, but it was quite a valid XP. It's, you know, licensed and, you know, no problem, right? So I had to go through some rigmarole to get that. And then earlier, while I was on vacation, it did an update which killed all the flash in my browser. And so what would happen is my browser would come up and any flash games or any flash ads, anything that was flash, would just show as a red X, as long as real media, real player, that sort of thing.
Well,
and it took forever to figure out, and the only thing you could do is hit the space bar and click it, and eventually it would load. But
let me explain how really, this sounds so nice. Listen to this. This is a Microsoft statement. For customers who are running a non-genuine copy of Windows, the new feature will enable notifications directly to their desktop that the copy of Windows they are running is not genuine. Doesn't that sound so much nicer?
It's a feature.
You stole it.
How about
it's
that?
It's not yours. You know what happens, though, is you get an OEM copy of Windows. Mm-hmm. All right. So now you got to rebuild your computer for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You reload the OEM copy, and now you got to actually pick up the phone, make a phone call, blah, 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 blah. And when Microsoft first started to enforce this, they didn't have things in place. So like techs and computer shops were stuck on the phone for hours at a time and so forth. It was a very, very frustrating thing.
Excellent. How about this one? 3 out of 100 internet users are able to sniff out sites ready to drop spyware or airware in their computers. Basically, they've got this test online. There'll be a link on the technologygeeks.com website later.
Okay.
And you can go through and it'll put two pictures of websites side by side and ask you which one might be bad and which one might be good. Now, the point of all of this is just to show you that you can't just look at a site and figure, well, it's designed nicely or this is just...
Oh, no, there's no way.
This is some little kid in his basement who designed this site, so it's got to be safe. There's just... Basically, they're just making that point and hoping that that gets across to people. This was... I mean, it's just not easy to do, and it's an interesting test to try out. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet or not.
One of these things is not like the other. Do they play that music in the background?
It's not a bad idea. They might
it is. It's
now.
A very good idea.
And this was through the Site Advisor, which is on our site somewhere for download, too, and Major Geeks does come up as a safe site, by the way.
Wonderful.
Excellent. It's a little toolbar. Texas Community College bans MySpace.com. Del Mar College students now have to use computers outside the school system if they want to visit the popular website. The community college has blocked the site in response to complaints about sluggish internet speed on campus computers. An investigation found that heavy traffic at MySpace.com was eating up too much bandwidth.
It had nothing to do with the MP3
right.
downloads.
It's no. Like,
it's all the root of all evil MySpace.
40% yes. of daily internet traffic at the college was at MySpace.
Oh, my,
oh
gosh.
My God. I was so wrong.
Did I not tell you this is borderline news where weird stories combined in one? I mean,
40% of their traffic
40%.
Is, well, glad mom and dad, your college money is being well spent while your kid wastes his time.
If you go to MySpace.com, it's no surprise because if you go there and you look and you start looking at people's profiles, you'll see online now. Was online 5 minutes ago. I mean, a lot of these people that use these networking type of sites.
Social networking.
Thank you. They spend a lot of time on there. There's one girl, she's been on all the TV shows. She's got some band, the most popular girl. Yeah. Keep seeing her on TV shows now. The most popular girl on MySpace with, like, what did I say?
Is that the name of the band?
No, I don't remember what even her
name is. Oh, yeah, we talked about it last week.
I don't even remember what her name is because I just really don't care deep down inside.
Hey, we're way long. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got the phone lines all lit up here. We'll come back and take care of your calls. Also coming up a little bit later in the show, Ted Rosicki, the shareware man. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence and robots and things like that, and it's pretty cool. You know what got me thinking about this was the car wash. Going to the car wash, the touch-free car wash, and I'm going, man, that thing is really cool. That little robot arm thing that cleans your car for you. Isn't it? I mean, I could never do that by getting out of my car and putting 4 quarters in the sprayer and doing the same thing.
That good,
yeah, and it's just amazing. Okay, we got our website of the week, some announcements, and, of course, your calls at 421-9325-421-WFBI. When we come back, we'll take your calls.
Car washes?
Gus is just telling me, hey, it's time to go to break. Yeah, no kidding, Gus. I've been stalling
it
when you got
out.
Back to the board. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com,
the
technology
back,
geeks, Gus. Right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBI. I want my chair back.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The computer outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the computer outlet today.
Has spyware got your computer running slower than a herd of turtles stampeding through peanut butter? Does your computer have so many viruses that you need a tetanus shot just to touch it? Is working on your computer so frustrating that you call the suicide hotline every time you check your email? Cheer up, because it's Rent-A-Nerd to the rescue! Rent-A-Nerd can fix any computer problem for just $89. For just $89 plus the cost of parts, they'll come to your home or office and eliminate your computer problems. Don't despair. Call Rent-A-Nerd 454-5611. That's 454-5611 for Rent-A-Nerd.
Oh, look at that computer.
We are back with more of MajorGeeks.com's Technology Geeks. We're going to go kind of fast in this segment. Why? Because we have to make up for the 5 minutes we wasted making fun of each other.
And yeah. A long segment.
Next I don't know if Gus can handle that, because he can't... he's chewing gum right now. He has to spit it out before he can operate the button.
We'll just do a speed geek round.
Get it? You are a comedian.
Okay, hey, let's go to the phones. We got... Hey, Bill in Groton. Hi, Bill. Tim asked you to call, so I'll let Tim take over this call. How you doing?
What I want, Bill? Oh, the ham radio thing.
Bill, are you there?
Bill?
Where's the chirp sound?
Bueller?
Man? Can I have a chirp sound?
Bueller?
Here's some sound effects.
Bill,
man.
Hi?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, I had to push the button. I'm docking your pay. No,
okay,
it was this.
I'm calling about the broadband over power line.
Oh, yeah.
And the main problem is that the power line system isn't shielded, so okay. The frequency radiates out into the air, into the ham operator's bandwidth space.
That's
a big problem with the ham radio.
We still got to have Bill in here sometime, man.
Yeah, but who's shielding the ham operator? Growing up, I had a guy with a ham radio that lived next to our house, and I used to listen to him on Channel 3 as I was trying to watch Disney every week.
You were watching soap operas.
Yeah, you can call
Disney. Monster Movie Matinee.
Commission, and they'll send a truck to his house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know, if he's interfering with your equipment.
Bill, I could have used you about 30 years ago.
Oh, well, too late.
I'll get you next time, though.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, all right, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Where's my so 50 long. Bucks, guys?
421-9325-421-WFDL.
That was my point, was the ham radio guys. They're a very small group. I mean, there's no surprise there. But it's not uncommon for a small group to be very, very vocal and very loud. And when this stuff comes up, you will hear them.
And when the end of the world comes, it'll be the ham radio operators that are providing communication. Hey, you know, here's the thing. If things do get that bad, I'm guessing the power will probably be out by then. You know, when your radios at work just
fine. Yeah, but these guys aren't generators.
No, these zero cycle things. You know, utilities are using this anyway to, like, read meters from the central office and things like that.
That's
They're using
crazy,
this kind of technology now anyway to do precisely that.
Yeah, they sent me a bill for my camp. It was snowed in. Sent me an electric bill. I'm like, how did you get to my meter? It's 400 feet back in snow. And somebody's like, oh, they just run by and hit the little thing on it. I'm like, well, it's wrong.
I got a
bill. There's no power.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Oh, I probably had to pay taxes. You know, it was like, that's probably what it was.
Right.
I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
Fascinating.
Okay, anyway, 421-9325, if you want to become part of the show, why
today.
Would you? Yes. Let's do our... What are we doing?
I have no idea. Let's just go home.
Okay. Let's get our announcements out of the way. Ted Rozalski is May's guest speaker for the Central New York PC Users Group. He will be on the air to talk about that meeting and a little bit more about what he was doing. We kind of cut him off last week. And he can talk about how to defend your computer and so on and so forth. Members and non-members are requested to register to attend all meetings at www.snypug.org, CNYPCUG.org/reserve, although if you just go to the main page and click the reserve link, that's a little easier for those who don't like to type, like me. What else we got? You're playing with my microphone. Thank you. The Geek Break is now on the air. It started to run this past week. I've got some great feedback on that, and just listen for new episodes every day in the morning and in the evening. When you're in your car driving, it'll be time for a Geek Break.
Where?
right here on 1390 WFBL.
Excellent.
And we'll have a website up soon, as soon as I give you those domain moves, which I haven't done yet. I've been out of town all week. Mm-hmm. Was down south. Interesting.
Portland?
Yeah. No, South Carolina. Now it's really in the south.
Oh.
Was an interesting trip, to be honest with you. Who did that? You unplugged my mouse.
It's been unplugged for a while.
Oh, you guys are crazy. All right.
Focus, for God's sake.
I'm trying. I'm working on it.
Deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. You were in South Carolina?
Right.
Yeah, just doing some, bringing computers to the masses.
Oh, I thought you were doing Carolina. Comedy. I was wondering if they found you funny.
Let's see. Let's go to our website of the week. It's the Human Dog Years Calculator. Again, technology allows us another incredibly stupid experience. We can do our dog years calculation. And my wife will be interested in this because she wants to buy a dog. And if you guys have any dogs for sale or you want to give away any dogs...
Go to
dogs,
a shelter. Any of the shelters, SPCA, dog catchers, all you get a good dog for nothing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Best way to do it. The purebreds I have had, stubborn, obstinate, you know, punk dogs. The strays I brought in, best dogs I've ever had.
Okay, so I'm going to enter my age... which is not.
I don't think the calculator called that.
And if you calculate,
Michael broke the human.
If
dog
you are years. A human, your age in dog years is 8.5. If you are a dog, your age in human years is 201. I don't think this is right.
Michael.
Okay, so if I'm 47, I'm an 8.5-year-old dog, and if I'm a 47-year-old dog, I'm a 201-year-old human.
All right, I'll buy that.
That was such an exciting...
yeah, I'm thrilled. Good choice.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Well, we can. Line 8.
That was
Chris in Chittenango has a question on AVG. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, quick question. I use AVG software. I love it. It's good stuff. I did find a virus on one of my network computers here, not the one I use, one of my son's computer. It's svehost.exe, and it told me that I should put it in the vault. My basic question is, and which I did, my basic question is this: how secure is that vault from a safety point of view, or should I be concerned with actually maybe going in there myself and deleting it?
What was the name of the file again?
SVEHOST.exe. I did a little research on the net. Apparently, it's something to do with SpyBot.
Yeah, it's an old spyware file.
Yeah.
There's actually a SVC host that's a real one and an SVC host that's a fake one. The way you tell us where the locations are. But the vault's fairly safe. If it's in the vault, it can't be run.
It's hidden.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hidden and it can't be run. I'd like to leave them in the vault for a little while, make sure that the system runs well. And if the system is running well, then I go back and delete them. The reason that they do put it in the vault like that is, like I said, there is a real system file that is named that.
Yeah, it's used to manage DLLs, which are like the lifeblood of your computer.
So you don't want
to get rid of the real one.
Yeah, you want to make sure it's the right one, and they put it in the vault, store it there, and after a while just clear
so
them
basically
out.
You're saying you want to make sure you don't delete an important system file once you know your machine's running correctly. Mm-hmm. Then it's
okay,
safe.
So it's kind of like, I guess, an insurance package for itself, too, so mm-hmm. in case it doesn't want to destroy the system itself.
Yeah, but there's a lot of viruses and spyware that use similar names to system files, so it's just a safe way to make sure you didn't delete something you shouldn't have deleted. Once you know you're safe, you can clear the vault out, because similar or same-sounding names as important system files is very common in viruses and Trojans.
Then again, it's your son's computer. Toast the file.
Well, yeah, but
if it doesn't boot, what do you care?
I'm concerned about it a little bit, you know.
I blame MySpace.com.
Yeah, one last question. I also use Cygate firewall. And okay. I just on the web right now, and I see that it looks like Symantec has bought it out, and I just don't like Norton. Should I be concerned with Cygate being sort of contaminated with Symantec philosophy?
Yes,
and all?
Yes. Yeah, there. You know, it's bloatware, no question about it. Just, you can either buy more RAM or get yourself,
From what I've heard, and I haven't read anything specifically, but just from the scuttlebutt on the internet, is that they want some of the technology from Cygate, so they're going to kill off Cygate and put it into their own firewall product.
Ouch.
So eventually it'll go bye-bye.
Yeah.
So you should start looking for another one.
Yeah, because I absolutely detest Norton. It's just too intrusive.
Yeah,
but Cygate is great. I got, for instance, one nice feature is I have a graphics real-time display on the system in terms of my RAM, you know, right. where I'm at on the RAM. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be very nice. But
how about
again,
Outpost? They offer that?
Outpost is an old free one. Carryout, there's not a lot of really good free.
Well, I'm wondering if anybody offers one with a graph. I don't think Zone Alarm does that. I think that's pretty unique to them.
Yeah. The Carryout's might, I don't remember. Not the tiny personal firewall, but the other one. But not a memory graph. It has graphs of what's coming in, what's coming out. But
so you would anticipate that on future upgrades for Cygate that it would it would lose its potency.
Yeah, I'd start looking.
I would
now.
Assume so. Yeah, good advice. Yeah, start looking.
Start looking now.
So okay,
you're prepared. You don't wake up one day and you get nag screens.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye. So long for now. 421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Ted Kaczynski. No, Rozelski.
Oh, wow.
Scuttlebutt.
The Unabomber. Now, we don't want to do that. Ted Rozelski will be here to talk about shareware, how to protect your computer with shareware. Listen in. Don't want to miss it. We'll be back. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com, the technology geeks, with all these high-tech words right here on Talk Radio 1390.
My word of the day.
WFBL.
Scuttlebutt.
The technology geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the technology geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the Computer Outlet. The Computer Outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The Computer Outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The Computer Outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The Computer Outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the Computer Outlet today.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Sorry, I was late getting back there, folks. I just fell off the back of my broken chair. That Gus, Matt, whatever.
But the important thing is Gus is safe.
Yes. Thanks, Gus. Appreciate that. 421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call. We're going to go to the phones right now and talk to whoever Matt tells me. Oh, Gus tells me to. We got John. John and Clay has difficulties with a mouse.
I do, too. One day
use
my wall.
Use the can. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
When I'm operating, sometimes the mouse icon separates from the actual place where it is. It sort of freezes on the screen, but you can still see the mouse highlighting, you know, other icons and functions and whatnot.
USB?
What could be causing that?
USB mouse?
Yes.
What do you think, Jimmy? You look like you had an idea. No? Should I take some stabs at it?
Wow. How old's your computer?
Not too old. Maybe a year old, but I did have the original mouse that came with it plugged into the round port type, mm-hmm.
PS2. That's PS2.
All right.
Yeah, it would do it the same. So I switched to an optical mouse, and it's doing the same thing.
So
and I can fix the problem by restarting the computer, but it's just real annoying.
So what you're saying is the actual image of the pointer stays, but you, in theory, elsewhere in the computer, the mouse is still working?
Yes. Right, the mouse.
It's your computer's haunted, right?
It's got to be a video redraw problem.
Oh, I thought his computer was haunted.
Well, it could be haunted. Let's call that John Stewart guy or John. Yeah. Who was that?
You probably do have video RAM would be my first guess as a problem. There's a flaw in it or the video card itself. Is it a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop.
Well.
I like to eliminate some basics first.
Okay.
Pull the USB out. Try another port. Have you done that yet?
Yes, I have.
Have you updated the drivers? Or do you have the mouse software installed?
Yes. That particular mouse came with a CD that you can install.
And that's good. USB 2.0 requires updated drivers. Have you done your motherboard drivers lately?
No, I haven't done that one.
Go for that first.
Where can you get
that? What kind of computer is it?
It's a Dell.
That answers everything. It's Intel Chipset Identification Software Utility. You can find it under our driver section. It was just updated last week, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Intel Chipset Software Installation Utility.
Hey,
Intel Chipset Software.
Yep, what that does is updates all your drivers on your board, including the USB drivers. Mm. And that may be your problem, because especially with the new USB 2.0, you really got to have those drivers up to par. So if he's running outdated motherboard drivers, it could cause some glitches. This isn't real, real likely, but there's never a problem with updating your drivers just to eliminate it as an issue.
If that doesn't work, go into your video card properties, right-click on the desktop, go to properties, and start playing around with some of the hardware acceleration or refresh rates of the video card itself to see if you can chill it out, because that could be the other problem.
It's real easy to do, because it'll only show you on the refresh rates what you can use. Normally it won't show you anything you can't, so you can just drop it down. If it's at 75, he could drop it to 60, for example, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's weird.
It could trigger a seizure.
I've done some research on the web about it, and there's not too much out there.
No.
It's not like it's a problem that's really proliferating.
Yeah, what leads me to think it's more video is I think you've tried, you said it would do the same thing if you used it on the bus or the USB, the regular PS2 bus or USB, and those are two entirely different bus architectures.
Right.
Same result. The only thing they have in common is the video,
mm-hmm.
and it's a mouse. You've changed out your mices, right? Your meese, whatever?
Yeah.
I think it's moose. I think two mice are moose, right?
All right.
You can scuttlebutt it from one port to the other. I'm going to use that word all day today.
It's a great word.
Maybe we have many moosin. Right, that's it.
Well, if that works out, call us back and tell us how wonderful we are. But if it doesn't, don't tell anybody.
Hey, John, before you go, how old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah. 42, okay. Just want you to know that your age in dog years is 7.25.
I heard that, yeah, okay.
Makes you feel better?
No.
All right. So you're much younger than you act. So long for now. 421-9325-421-WFBL. Hey, let's go to Ted. Oh, this is Ted Rozelski.
Did I
get that right this time?
Was he saying your name right?
Yeah, Rozelski?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the way I said it, right?
It rolls off the tongue.
Yes, it does.
You got it down forever. Once you say it once, you got it forever.
There you go. Hey, Ted, we kind of cut you off last week. We wanted to have you come on. Now, you're going to be at the Central New York PC Users Group this Monday, day after tomorrow. Liverpool Public Library, right? 6 p.m.?
That's right. Yep, exactly.
Okay. And we wanted to talk about shareware and the shareware that what's indispensable? What do people need for indispensable shareware on their computer?
I'll tell you, a number of things. As far as keeping your PC safe, and that's what we're going to be talking about on Monday, first thing to start off with is virus protection. The prime shareware for doing that is AVG out there from GreeSoft, GRISOFT.
We're having some trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Let's try this. Is that any better? Ooh.
Yeah, that was much better. The click, especially, it loosened up all my earwax. It was perfect.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Well, I'm glad I could
about my headphones. Huh?
It's a real word.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. So AVG, which I use,
yep.
So I'll have to go along with that.
Yeah. AVG. AVG is terrific. In terms of spyware, I really got to say, Microsoft's new Windows Defender that they've got out there now. In terms of, it's a free product, right now. It's in beta test, so it's not a completely finished product, but I've been running it on my PC for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's done a great job. So
most geeks consider that now a must-have utility.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Two out of three geeks.
Two out of three.
Who use sugarless gum. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's right. And, you know, to back that up, because, again, not every spyware software can detect everything. You know, the other two that I strongly recommend, SpyBot Search and Destroy,
yep.
SpyBot S&D, which is just super. And the nice thing about SpyBot, too, is that it can run in two modes. It can run in a basic user mode, you know, it's like, hey, I don't know anything. I just want to make sure that I don't have spyware on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can run it in that, and it's very easy to use. But also, if you're an advanced user and you want some additional tools, you can switch it over to advanced mode. And it has a host of tools included inside of it that are real wonderful for, you know, being able to diagnose and experiment with things like, you know, startup processes and things on your
mm-hmm.
computer. So.
Very good. And free, and probably always will be free, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, dedicated to the most wonderful girl in the world, as I believe it.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah, it's written in this program.
Yep.
And
yep.
He's one of those guys, it's in his statement, he believes that code and programs are just bits and bytes and numbers and should always be free.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Real and then cool. I'd be out of business. Thank you very much. I hate that guy.
Somebody sent us a spam, which we'll see what we can do there.
Okay, so we've got our spyware covered. We got our viruses covered. What else do we need to do?
Well, a couple of things. One is, you know, you really want to have a good sense of what's going on in your computer. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, especially, you know, you're running Windows, and they work real hard to try to keep things simple in front of your face. But behind the scenes, it's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you got the guy behind the curtain that's doing all the stuff. Well, you want to know what that is. There's a great little tool called Process Explorer.
I was going to say because.
Yeah, because.
Do it. All right,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Process Explorer is great because what it'll do is it'll show you all those different things mm-hmm. that are running behind the scenes, and you can right click on any of them and go, what the heck is that? And do a Google search, and right away you'll be taken to all kinds of sites that will explain to you what that is, and no, it's not spyware, or it's not something you have to be worried about deleting. Or maybe it is, you know, and it'll take you right to, you know, some of the sites like Symantec or McAfee and their descriptions of the virus and why it's a problem. So.
Very cool. So what you're saying then is, you know, people look at their task manager and they say, gee, what are all those programs? And my computer's running really slow all of a sudden, and I look, and I do this a lot, is I'll go into my task manager, sort it by process utilization to see what program is hanging my computer up.
Mm-hmm.
And using the most CPU cycles, it's a pretty simple process. But then I look at the program, and often I don't know what the heck it is.
Right.
And then I got to go out and Google it. But you say this was it from SysInternals, I think?
From SysInternals, that's right, SysInternals.com.
Always solid software.
So, yeah, there's another site directly, too. You can go to LI Utilities. It's got a little search there. It's mm-hmm. awesome. And they're very current.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways. There's one called, in our admin tool, it's called processlibrary.com quick access info bar,
yep.
which is real handy to pop stuff up. But yeah, processes are a neat thing to tinker around with when you're having computer problems.
Yeah, to see exactly what's running under the hood there. There's a lot more going on.
Learn something new every day. I'm going to install this right now because this is something I would use all the time. A very old computer, because it takes a week or more of my time to set up a new laptop the way I need it. And I really need a new laptop. But it's such a painful process to go through
yep.
that I've been putting it off as long as I can, and now I do need to monitor my processes because I have a lot of things when I'm writing code. I have a lot of things running in the background, and gotta do that. So that's a great tool.
Yeah, absolutely. There's another one kind of related to that, which is Startup List, and
yep.
Startup List is from Merin Software. You've got it to merijn.org, and they're the folks where. From Hijack This,
mm-hmm.
and of course a lot of people heard about Hijack This in terms of running to create logs of here's everything that's running on my computer right now, and it produces it in an ASCII format that you can print, or you can either print it or you can save it and upload it to forums or discussion boards online where, you know, people can, you know, you can share that with experts and say, okay, look, here's what's going on in my computer. I don't know what any of this means. But could some of you help me out and tell me what I need to do to clean up the garbage in here?
Right.
And Startup List shows you a list of everything that starts up when you turn your computer on. And it's a lot more than just what's in the startup folder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you click on Program Startup Folder, you've got some things in there, but oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of things that are loaded into your registry. You have things that are set up under your user account. You've got things that run in Internet Explorer or in your browser. It's just all kinds of places. And this gives you a very complete list of where those things are running from and what's in there. And you can drill down and look, and you'll see more detail than you probably care to know. But it's a great way to research if you're trying to find out what's running on here. If Startup List gives you too much information, then MyBot Search and Destroy, if you run that in advanced mode, take a look at their startup tools, that'll give you some of the more basic stuff.
I put a link to it on the technologygeeks.com to Major Geeks, where you can download that. The admin tools, one of the reasons is he actually had some bandwidth problems, so he links out for most of his downloads now as much as he can, and he emails us when it's updated. We usually, if it updates, we do it within minutes, so you can always get that from us under our admin tools section as well.
Great.
Yeah, these Ted, I don't know if you have you met Jim and Tim before from Major Geeks.
Yeah, you guys came and did a presentation for us at the PC Users.
Right, right. I mean, they're like the rock stars of the shareware industry. They really are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we party
after the meetings, you know, in the back room, and they bring in heavy on water and stuff like that.
Yeah, where's the green room? I'd like to get out of here.
Where's my tour bus?
Vegetable tray, something.
Where is that bus?
Okay. Ted, again, the meeting is Monday, 6 o'clock?
Yep, at the Liverpool Library.
Okay, so long for now. Thanks for coming. I know one more thing.
No, you're good. I was just going to plug us again because I'm actually doing a list in progress. I linked to it on thetechnologygeeks.com. What it is it's a list at Major Geeks of must-have free software. I just started a couple days ago, and it's drawn out in a section like, I want to secure my computer. I want to back up my computer. And it's our favorite free utilities. And it's a whole big list that we're working on and stuff that's just for people who don't know what they're doing and need to know what's safe, what they can use, what they can rely on. Yeah, and a lot of this stuff is the same things that Ted's mentioning. So.
Very good.
Great. Glad to see we're of the same mind on
all. Yes, we are.
There you go. So long for now, Ted. Thanks. Meeting again is 6 o'clock at the Liverpool Public Library, 421-9325. We'll take our last break when we come back. All our cleanup here, website of the week. I think we can forego the Geek of the Week software pick unless
sure.
you want to.
Sure, about it.
Because we just did.
We'll just.
I set you up for that and you didn't let me down. I appreciate that.
Technically, it would be worth scuttling the Geek.
Oh, yes.
But that's not scuttlebutt.
Yes. 421-9325 is the number to call. And we'll have a quick conversation about artificial intelligence because we're all dopes here, so that's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking we need artificial intelligence.
You're
now.
Here
now I'm
listening
excited.
To MajorGeeks.com's of Technology Geeks right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFPL. I want that chair back.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 001101000100.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the Geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes, you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the Internet.
Does your business technology strategy consist of daily computer emergencies? Are you dealing with spyware, spam, viruses, and computer breakdowns rather than paying attention to your business? Call the professionals at Rent-A-Nerd at 454-5611. With over 25 years of experience, Rent-A-Nerd will devise a technology strategy that'll work for you. Stop wasting your money on endless repairs and make an investment in technology. Call Rent-A-Nerd today at 454-5611. Rent-A-Nerd. Funny name? Maybe. Professional results? Absolutely.
It's all about the Pindians, baby.
It is all about the pen. Hey, turn that down. It's all about the Pentiums here at MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks.
Look like that silly little robot on Buck Rogers.
Yeah, I wanted to get some guy. Remember that show? Yeah.
Jordy
LaForge. This is my Jordy LaForge look in honor of artificial intelligence. Well, you know, people don't think about artificial intelligence. I was listening to a discussion while on hold this past week about DARPA. And, do you know what DARPA is? That's what got me thinking about this.
I think I used to have to take that as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, still taking it.
DARPA is was this competition where they take vehicles and they you know, pretty much turn the vehicle into a robot, and then it has to do this 130-something mile cross-country thing. Stanford University won it. Their race team won. Now, the first this just to show you how quickly this stuff is advancing. The first year that they had this competition, I don't think any vehicle made it more than like 20 miles, and they just conked out or stopped working or failed. Now, more than half the vehicles crossed the finish line, and they're doing it in a pretty good record time. What did you just take?
What are you talking about? A car going all by itself?
Yeah, they program these cars. They program these cars. Oh, well, okay, but the show isn't just about Tim.
It is too.
It is.
All right. I totally disagree.
Is Flat Tim also Silent Tim? Because we can, you can
flat,
be.
Yeah, here. Flat Tim doesn't.
No, but a very, very cool thing in Stanford University, sponsored by Volkswagen Touareg, had entered their car at one. Travel 131 miles in whatever time, and yes, they have to figure out all of these things, how to keep it on the road, how to avoid obstacles, it can pass other cars, all kinds of very cool things, and it improved from not working at all to in 1 year being able to run cross country the year later. And now this DARPA has been going on for a few years now. The grand prize is $2 million. So just a simple greed incentive has gotten these universities and corporations involved in this this type of thing. So you've got robotic cars. Well, what are the benefits of robotic cars?
Nothing.
No accidents.
No accidents.
Why do they need to pass? Well, why do you need to pass other cars if everything's automated? Yeah. You wouldn't have to.
Well, because I want to go faster than...
You wouldn't have a choice.
Well, you wouldn't have to. You'd be able... You'd just hop in, like in Judge Dredd, where everybody would just hop in a car and then go, and everybody would go at the same speed. You know, and then if you got too close to it, you know, they would back it off, and there would be no accidents.
Okay, so let's go back to the automated car wash then. And
See, now I like that.
Oh, yeah, automated cars are great.
This one over here in Beville is great.
Yeah. Well, boy, this has turned into a real technical...
I want to drive my car. There was a thing, I think PC Magazine or something had a thing of all the technologies that are coming out in the cars, and it should be commonplace in the next 10 years, like being
well,
able to...
Collision, well, just so you know where some of this stuff has come from, collision avoidance systems are now built into many cars. Honda, for example, has a collision avoidance system where you set your cruise control on your car, and as soon as you get within so many meters of the car in front of you, it will slow down and match the car speed of the car in front of you, give you a little beep or signal telling you about doing that. So this DARPA challenge has spawned other technologies that I think are very beneficial.
True.
That's certainly one of them, this collision avoidance system.
Have you ever been in a car with that? My buddy had a car where he gets behind his car at 35 miles an hour, locks his cruise control on. It's just amazing to watch a car just slow down, speed up with the car in front of you.
Yeah, and then if same type of thing, you turn your left blinker on to pass on a highway, for example, someone's in your blind spot, it'll tell you. It says, well, as long as you decide you're going to use your blinker to move, it'll say, oh, wait, there's somebody in your blind spot. You can't move to your left.
I already have
very,
that.
Very, very cool
I
stuff.
I already have that in my Toyota. It's called my wife.
What are you doing? Wait, look out. There's a Stuckey's, you just passed it. So, you know, from these really advanced-sounding things like DARPA, and we don't want automated cars. You fell for that very well, Tim. Thank you. We don't want automated cars. Yeah, but the technology of saying, putting a challenge together to say we want a fully automated vehicle that can drive itself, figure out where it is, do all of these things. Some of the spin-off technologies are things that we can use to avoid accidents and make things safer. A lot of automobile safety comes from artificial intelligence as well. But that was just one example. I think another good one is Deep Blue, which is what? Go ahead.
Robo Sapien.
Robo. That's a toy.
Yeah, but still, it's artificial.
Very hard. It's very hard. I got my.
I own Robo Raptor. Actually, it's the Tyrannosaurus Rex version of it, and it'll learn. It actually can go around, sniff, and I got it to play with my cat.
Throw a garbage pail, because that's the one I had.
If you don't pay attention to it, it'll do certain things. And one time I was in the kitchen, and I wasn't paying attention to the Roboraptor, and it came running across the kitchen and bit me in the leg. I swear to God, I haven't turned it on since. Now that's
what happens now if you get bit by a Roboraptor toy? Do you have to go to Mattel to get a virus shot or something?
Put a Lego bandage on it.
Thank you. Can you imagine that? He sees the little puddle of water banging as his Roboraptor is getting closer. Oh, boy, that's so sad. Deep Blue is another example of artificial intelligence programmed system that can now defeat any chess player anywhere in the world. The best chess players have gone up against it. They can't win. So now chess, we should never play chess anymore because a computer can beat us. Of course, it's one of the most powerful computers in the world, and it takes forever to make moves and so forth.
How come they can't get a good AI for a poker game then?
Yeah, well, this is the whole point.
That I wonder about.
Yeah. So thanks for throwing me off, though.
Well, they've been working on Deep Blue since the 60s.
Oh. Yeah, computers that can play chess. Well, what are some of the spinoffs from that? Well, believe it or not, medical diagnostics systems, the same technology, same kind of logic and program design that you need for chess playing and advanced game playing and role-playing computers also plays a role in helping doctors diagnose illnesses. So artificial intelligence has played a role in medical diagnostics, for example, navigation systems, again, not automobile navigation systems now, but you know, space flight, air flight, so things like that. Where are we headed in the future? I think we're starting to see it already. You will, you'll be able to keep track of your kids a lot easier. You'll, there's some privacy issues there certainly, but you'll have cars that are much more intelligent, much more difficult for you to get into an automobile accident. You'll still be driving, sort of.
Or steal.
But it'll keep track of you. If you make a mistake, it'll be able to recognize an error.
As long as I can shut it off.
Right. Tim is getting upset. Why don't you go with Ted Rizal or Kaczynski or whatever?
I don't want a car that makes corrections. I'm driving.
Trust me, I've been in the car with you.
You need this. Okay. Well, that was our discussion that fell flat on artificial intelligence. Just what you're going to see, I think, in the future is what you see in science fiction films about normal home life, that there'll be voice-activated items, things that will try to turn off lights when people aren't in rooms for a period of time, especially with energy prices climbing as they are. I think you're going to start to see some of these decision-making computer systems built into appliances more and more and more.
They already have that? I went to a
public restroom the other day,
and the lights went on by themselves.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It'll happen in your home. You'll see it as a daily daily experience. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. Walk in the bathroom, the light goes on.
There's actually some home automation stuff you can now buy right at Best Buy and CompUSA, and then networking thing. It'll turn on.
Yeah, Chuck Swanson, who's a friend of the show, he has one of those systems.
Let's get him on, man.
Yeah, he's had that for quite a few years, where it turns your lights on and off. But this is more than just the clapper. It's something that's intelligent enough
to know that you're in the room, turn the lights on, or you're coming home, turn it on.
Right. Yeah. It keeps track of how you use your food in your refrigerator. It'll tell you what food is about to spoil, things like that, so you don't waste food. This is where we're heading with artificial intelligence.
Let's
be on the lookout for it in the next couple of years. I made the prediction right here.
Let's cut a butt out for some lunch.
A refrigerator that prints a grocery list.
So long for
now. Let me end the show. Clap off. They don't give a rip about their favorite singer.
They just keep on ripping off their song. We got to install MP3 players.